It was Shakespeare who wrote, "How like a serpent's tooth is a thankless child." Indeed, ingratitude cuts like a knife. Our forefathers knew who had brought them across the sea to a new homeland, and they knew to whom they owed thanks. In a more godly era, Thanksgiving was made a federal holiday. So, are we truly thankful? Today, the story of one among 10 men who gave God thanks. Stay with us. From Chicago's Moody Church, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Today, Erwin Lutzer brings a Thanksgiving message on one man's gratitude, a man who should be a model for all of us. Join us now as we hear Just One in a Crowd.
You know, there are many different ways that we have to distinguish between people. Oftentimes we distinguish them because of their appearance. I suppose that's most common. Sometimes we do it because of their intelligence or their abilities or the color of their skin. But today we're going to learn a different way that you can have someone distinguished from another, someone who will actually stand out in a crowd. The story is found in the 17th chapter of Luke's Gospel, Luke chapter 17. It's one that perhaps you're familiar with, but I shall read it to you. It's very brief, the 17th chapter of Luke, and I'm beginning at verse 11. If you'd follow along, please. On the way to Jerusalem, he was passing along between Samaria and Galilee, and as he entered a village, he was met by 10 lepers who stood at a distance and lifted up their voices, saying, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." When he saw them, he said to them, "Go show yourselves to the priests." And as they went, they were cleansed. Then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice, and fell on his face at Jesus' feet, giving him thanks. Now he was a Samaritan. Then Jesus answered, "Were not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?" And he said to him, "Rise and go your way. Your faith has made you well." Leprosy. Leprosy drew these 10 men together because in those days, if you were leprous, you were looking for a colony, a gang of men who would walk around together and take care of themselves as best they could. Among them was a man who was a Samaritan. Now, the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans, but it's interesting that when you are in a time of need, when things are desperate, you don't care who's next to you if you're helping one another in times of distress. So you have 10 men here, and according to the Old Testament, if you read the 13th chapter of Leviticus, those who had leprosy were supposed to have torn clothes, unkempt hair. They were to wander around outside the camp, and when anyone came near to them within, say, 150 feet, they were to shout, "Unclean, unclean, unclean, stay away." Imagine that kind of life. Now, in the Bible, leprosy is compared to sin. As a matter of fact, one of the lessons that God wanted to get across in the Old Testament times, as well as the New, is the likeness of leprosy to sin. Because what leprosy does to your body is precisely, almost precisely, what sin does to your soul. So, as we look at these men, let us notice 4 similarities and 1 difference. The first similarity is this, that they had the same disease. They had leprosy. Now, what is leprosy? Because it's almost non-existent today in most countries, we aren't acquainted with it. But leprosy was not, as some people think, it was not the rotting infections that people think it is. It was something more sinister, and that is, it actually shut down the nervous system that communicates to you that you are in pain. It anesthetizes you. As a result, people in primitive countries would sometimes take a potato out of the fire, their hands would be greatly burned, but they wouldn't know it because they couldn't feel it. They could put their hand in boiling water and they wouldn't know it. One of the reasons why lepers used to lose their toes is that while they slept, rodents would sometimes come and nibble on those toes and eat those toes, and they wouldn't even know it because they couldn't feel it. Dr. Paul Brand, who worked with lepers, said that he frequently would simply send a cat home with some of the people so that the cat could catch these rodents, and that in itself would help some in terms of what lepers were going through. It is, said Dr. Paul Brand, a painless hell. You're in no pain, but as you look around, you notice that instead of fingers, you now just have stubs. Your toes begin to deteriorate. You begin to walk with a limp, and then your back would soon be bent, and you'd manage as best you could with your sunken eyes. What a terrible disease, with sores that were open and putrid. And so the Bible says, remember now, that there is a similarity. Think for a moment about sin. What does sin do? When you feel guilty, you do one of two things. Either A, you look for forgiveness to take away your sin. That's the first thing you do. If not, what do? You harden your heart, tell yourself you don't need forgiveness, and the harder your heart comes, you have no idea what's going on, and your soul is anesthetized. Your soul is numb, and it can feel no pain. Have you ever talked to somebody like that? You remind them that they are sinners, and they look around and they say to themselves, me, I don't see anything wrong with me. I'm perfectly fine the way I am. That's what sin does. It takes away any feeling of guilt, any feeling of honesty as to who you are, and you can live in your own little private world. So the leper lived in despair. He also lived with rejection. You'll notice that when they come to Jesus, it said they stood at a distance. They wanted to maintain that 150 feet between themselves and Christ, as they were trained to do. And so they were rejected from their homes. They were rejected by the families. And if they went into a building, they had to call unclean. And after they'd been in the building, a priest would have to come and cleanse it. It was a terrible, terrible existence. You say, well, how did these lepers live? Frequently, people who had compassion would take some food and they'd put it out somewhere where they knew that the lepers would gather and they'd be able to eat it. But it was a horrid, horrid life. But there was something else about the lepers in those times, and that is they felt a great sense of self-condemnation. And they felt this because they lived in an era when they believed that there was a tight connection between your personal health and leprosy. The Old Testament, you remember, God took Miriam and struck her with leprosy. So these people felt that because I'm a leper, I'm thereby condemned. Now, they were not necessarily greater sinners than others, but they felt that way. No matter where they felt, no matter where they went, they had the same kind of feeling within their souls as existed on their bodies. It was a terrible feeling of self-condemnation. The pollution without was symbolic of the pollution within. So here you have these 10 men. They all had the same disease. They all wanted healing. Notice the text says that they said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. They all wanted the healing that Jesus could give them. In fact, they don't really even ask for a healing. I look at this text and I say to myself, maybe they never had enough faith to ask for healing. All that they asked for was mercy. But they'd heard about Jesus. They had heard about his miracles. They heard about the things that Jesus was able to do. And so they asked for mercy. Possibly they thought that he might heal them. But what they were saying is, show some compassion upon us. And I'm sure that as they cried with a loud voice, the Bible says, it was as if they were echoing this all together in one common chorus of 10 voices. Master, have mercy on us. One thing about a leper that is not true of sin, and that is that they knew that they were not normal. You say they knew that they had a need. God bless them for that. They could look around and they could see other people with discernibly 10 fingers and 10 toes. They could look around and they could see other people who did not have putrefying sores oozing out of their body. And so they knew that they had this specific need. And so they asked Jesus for mercy, hoping that they would be healed. They raised their voices because they knew they had a need. If you're here today and you want Jesus Christ to heal you and to help you, you need to know that you have a need. The lepers knew that. Sometimes sinners do not know that. Well, that's the second similarity. They all had the same disease. They all wanted healing. And all of them were obedient. Now, with your Bibles open, this is a remarkable text. You'll notice it says, when he saw them, that is when Jesus saw them, he said to them, go show yourselves to the priests. Wow. Well, my friend, today this is Pastor Lutzer, and of course you're going to have to tune in to the next broadcast to find out what happened and why Jesus said that. But to give you a bit of a heads up, you see, Jesus was really testing their faith. Because in the Old Testament, you didn't show yourself to the priest unless you were healed. And that's where their faith came in. And it was very interesting to see how they responded to the words of the Sovereign Lord. But you, my friend, I need to speak to you today personally and to simply ask you this question. Do you have faith? The Bible says that if we have faith, even as a grain of mustard seed, we can speak and God acts. Your faith does not have to be great, but you do need to have faith if you intend to come before God and to be blessed. I love that verse as it occurs in the book of Hebrews, where it says that he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. I love the translation that puts it this way. He is a rewarder of all those who diligently seek him out. Are you being rewarded today because you're seeking God out? You're reading the Word. You're building faith as you read the Word. You're studying the text. You're listening to His Word. And you're quiet enough in your soul to be able to meditate and be in God's presence and say, Lord, I want to connect with You, not just legally through Jesus Christ, but to personally know that my heart is being satisfied by Your presence. Now that is the essence of faith. Faith is built in the crucible of suffering and heartache, but also it is encouraged and stimulated by the very presence of God Himself. Pursue Him today.
Thank you, Dr. Lutzer. Dr. Erwin Lutzer has brought part one of Just One in a Crowd, a special Thanksgiving message about one man in 10, a man who was thankful. Tomorrow, join us for a searching look into whether we're any better than the ungrateful nine. Running to Win comes to you from Chicago's Moody Church to help you understand God's roadmap for your race of life. Today's message can be yours on CD, cassette, or MP3. For full information, call toll-free at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Ask about Just One in a Crowd when you call. To learn more about the many ministries of Moody Church, visit our website at runningtowin.org. And don't forget, Running to Win is supported by listeners like you. This is Dave McAllister. Join us tomorrow for our next edition of Running to Win.